Patrick had a keen appreciation for the gift of hearing. Now that his hearing was almost gone, he knew what a gift it was and how most people don't even think about it. Patrick had lost his hearing on his right side while serving on a ship during World War II. The cannons on the ship would be fired regularly, and he was close by when they were fired. No one ever thought of ear protectors then, really. His hearing on his left side started to go gradually as he got older. Thankfully, we live in a time and a place where hearing aids and the technology that goes into them are quite advanced. But things, they don't work out equally well for all, as some of you here know better than me. Now into his mid-90s, Patrick can hardly hear a thing. Of course, hearing, it's not just a physical thing. We use the word hearing and the cognate word listening to describe all kinds of ways we engage with others and with life. When we tell someone they're not listening to us, we know it's not a question of whether they can hear us. They can. It's a question of whether they're paying attention or absorbing what we're saying. Sometimes people refuse to listen to what their bodies are telling them or what situations in their lives are telling them. And this is not about hearing something audibly. It's about taking something seriously that's happening, requiring some attention, some change. But listening, it's also a spiritual thing. After our scripture reading during worship, we speak the words responsively. We are listening, O God. Speak to us. So what are we listening for? How do we know it's God speaking and not our wishful thinking, or maybe our fears or anxieties? Let's delve into our scripture reading, listening for some revelatory insight. Eli is the high priest, and in a time, as I mentioned earlier, before kings, Eli, though, is the top official of the people of Israel. But Eli is also a humble man, but also with a troubled family. His sons are supposed to succeed him, but they are disreputable and corrupt, and Eli carries failure and remorse about it. There is a bright spot, though, Samuel. Samuel is just a boy, but already Eli can see something in him. Samuel was left under Eli's charge after his mother Hannah brought him to the temple. She had been unable to bear children for years for all her praying about it, but she made a vow to God, should she become pregnant and bear a child, she would devote the child to the service of the Lord in the temple. This child was Samuel. She kept her vow. Eli was given charge of Samuel to raise him and teach him. And now we get to our reading. It begins with these words. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. In other words, it was a time where people had lost hope, a time of despair. It was a time where there were no new ideas, no new doors opening, no hope for better days and better ways. To hear God speak, we have to believe God can speak, and we have to believe we can hear God speaking. To hear God speak is to believe that we can receive visions and revelations. The question for you and me, as it is the question for Israel, for Eli, for Samuel, the question is this. Are we unable to hear God speak because something has shut down in us? Have we given up because a door has closed? Are we so burdened by something or disillusioned by something or distressed about something or taken up and distracted by any number of things that we cannot hear God speaking to us. What is it in you, in me, that may be blocking our hearing of God speaking to us? And this leads to our second point. Eli is awakened. Samuel thinks Eli is calling him. He claims he's hearing some voice, but Eli hasn't called him. It's only the two of them there through the night. If it's not Eli calling Samuel, who could it be? Whether Samuel is dreaming or not, some vision is being spoken to him, some word, and it isn't Eli speaking. And so Eli tells Samuel this, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" In other words, Samuel is being taught to listen. Eli believes God can speak. He is being recalled to a time when God would speak and people would be open and ready to hear. Samuel has a childlike openness to listen and learn. He's not shut down like many adults, jaded by repeated disappointment, cynical, mistrusting, or too skeptical to listen for some transcendent word to be spoken into the depths of their hearts. And so what about you and me? Are we open and childlike, like Samuel, ready to hear a word from beyond us, a word spoken into the depths of our hearts, a word to enlighten, challenge, direct, and move us? Or are we blocked from hearing for some reason? Are we jaded, cynical, or shut down because life has overwhelmed or disappointed or betrayed us somehow? Are we so distracted that we cannot settle our minds and focus our inner self so that we may discern a word from beyond us spoken into us? Are we so resistant to change that we refuse to hear because we're afraid of a call to change something? Well, this leads to our third and final point. Samuel is open and ready to learn from Eli. He is childlike in his readiness to trust, and he's open in that part of his brain where spiritual imagination thrives. God can speak to us. We can learn to hear. Regardless of all that happens in life to make us question ourselves, question life, question others, question the very existence of God, we attune ourselves again and again and open ourselves again and again. But there are blocks in life, as many of us know all too well. There are reasons why our trust and our imagination shut down. Life has dealt various blows and disappointments our way. People have betrayed us. Our vulnerability has been taken advantage of and abused rather than cared for. Any number of reasons, visible and invisible for us, are reasons why our spiritual imagination and openness have broken down, if it was ever there. Now, I believe it is there, for why else would you all be here? Coming to church, why? It's about opening ourselves somehow for the possibility that God speaks and that we may hear something and identify it as a divine word spoken into the depths of our hearts. We come here to practice that kind of spiritual hearing. We come so that we may develop some familiarity with that voice, a learning through Jesus, perhaps, of what that voice would and would not say. But there's still one more challenge, a big challenge for us if we're going to hear a voice that is authentic and not just made up to suit our every want rather than our deeper need. There is still one more challenge. Samuel hears the voice again. This time he knows what he will say. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then Samuel hears something. But here's the thing. What Samuel hears is not what he wants to hear. We read, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle.'" In other words, there's some bad stuff going on, Samuel, and there's going to be some consequences and some accountability for it all. And there has to be. And you need to speak it on my behalf. You need to live it on my behalf if you're going to live truthfully in yourself and speak truthfully to others because you really care about them. And there's more content to what Samuel hears. Basically, hears that the corruption and abuse of the office of high priest that Eli's sons have been perpetrating will lead ultimately to ruin for Eli's whole house. Eli is a good and righteous man, but he has not had the courage to confront his sons and clean house. And for this reason, he will fall along with his sons, and another lineage will take over the leadership of Israel. Wow. Pretty awful, isn't it? Sad and tragic for Eli. Even though his sons, they deserve to fail and fall. But the pain a father carries will overwhelm him. How many things we carry, don't we? Because we are connected to family, who are our greatest blessing and joy, but can also be our greatest burden and sometimes our failure too. And so Samuel, you know, he doesn't hold back and refuse to hear what God is saying, even when it's totally true. He doesn't hold back because it's true. He loves Eli. He does. Eli is like a father to him. Eli has taken him in and taught him everything. Eli loves him like his own and has held nothing back from Samuel. Does Samuel reward all that goodness and love by speaking such a damning word, even if it's the truth? Well, we're not left guessing in this story. Eli asks Samuel to tell him what he's heard, to hold nothing back. Samuel finds the courage to speak it exactly as he's heard it in his heart. And Eli, does he get angry? Does he condemn Samuel and throw him out? Does he make excuses and justifications like he's been probably making to himself all these years, avoiding having to confront his sons and deal with their evil? No. After Eli hears it all, the sad, tragic, hard truth, he says this: "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." In other words, he affirms that what Samuel has heard is God speaking. Eli has heard the same thing, but has refused to hear it all these years. Now he hears it from a mere boy, but a boy who has been exposed to Eli's household and has observed all that's been happening. He hears God speak the truth he's been avoiding no longer. So how does it happen for you and for me? How do we get to that point where we hear God speak to us, not necessarily what we simply want to hear, but what we truly need to hear, some deeper truth, something that may require some change, some action, some commitment, some direction? We can keep avoiding, denying, just living our life as we want it, shutting down things of conscience or spiritual imagination or things that are really inconvenient for us at this time of our lives. Or we can really recover a childlike openness to hear again. What would that look like for you, for me? Where are the obstacles in our lives? Where are the distractions? Where is the lack of commitment? Where is the lack of faith that a divine word can be spoken and we can act on it, even if when change is required? We have witnessed a baptism today. We have called on the Holy Spirit to surround and penetrate James as he continues his journey into adulthood. We have added our prayers for him and his family. Our hope, and our prayer is that he will learn to hear God speaking just like Samuel was taught. The truth is that we need to hear even if it's not always what we want to hear. God's vision for us, though, is always the same. God's vision for us is the same. How can our lives bless the world in a unique way as followers of Jesus, each of us? How can our lives bless the world as followers of Jesus? It's going to be different for each of us. And that's what we're here for, to get recalibrated. But we have to learn to hear in order to know our way forward at each and every stage of our lives. We are listening, O God. Speak to us.